I want to share a message today that's kind of relevant to what's going on around us and in the world. I don't know how many address this subject, congregations and so on, but with everything going on in the Middle East and other parts of the world, those of us who are believers need to know, what is our role in all of this? What is this about? And I believe our role in all of this is to support Israel and the Jewish people. And in my message today, I want to share some of the reasons why I believe that. Biblical reasons. And not only why I believe that, but how we do that as well. Now, it's a little difficult for me. It might be a little prejudiced being a Jew, trying to give this message of supporting the Jewish people. But I want to give this message through a godly perspective, not through my own personal beliefs or so on. Hopefully they do line up with God's perspective as well. But I want to look at it through His eyes and through His heart. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, that You've got a word for us. And I pray, Lord, as believers, that You would give us ears to hear what the Ruach, the Spirit of Lord, would be saying to us even today through all that we see and hear around us and all the noise and so on. But Lord, we want to hear from You. We want to know what You would say to us in the midst of all this. And I just pray that in the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in the name of the Holy One of Israel, Yeshua, our Lord. And if you agree, say amen. So be it. See, we need to realize what's happening out in this world today, in Israel, that it's not about Palestine or the Palestinian people. It's bigger than Hamas, bigger than Hezbollah. Plain and simple, this is about hatred of the Jewish people. Hatred. As God's chosen people, all believers should be supporting Israel and should be supporting what God supports. Recently, things have been happening at an alarming rate with the rise of anti-Semitism across the world right now. Even some of our universities in the United States, right on the heels of the October 7th massacre of innocent people in Israel, where women was assaulted, babies were beheaded, people were kidnapped, used as human shields and bargaining chips, that students in our colleges and our campuses are holding rallies in support of the very organization, Hamas, that did all of that. I mean, it's shocking to see that. I don't know about you. Colleges like Harvard, we have people seeking this great education, but marching in step with this false narrative that Israel is some apartheid state. I don't think most people even know what that means. They're just parroting or going along with what the culture is saying and so on, and others, peers in their groups are saying. Now let's take a look at some of those false accusations. Apartheid, they're in stolen land, and so on and so forth. I'll just say this, Israel is not an apartheid state. Apartheid, you know, a lot of us, it's well known what happened in South Africa. where the black population were treated differently than the white population. The white population there were favored. But there's nothing of that kind going on in Israel. See, Arab citizens in Israel have the same rights as Israeli citizens. There are even Arabs serving in the Knesset, their legislative body. In fact, 20% of all the citizens in Israel are Arab. Yet there are no Jewish people living under Palestinian rule. See, the people in Israel, I really believe this, I know many of them, they want peace. Even when they've been attacked in battle and gained some ground, they gave up ground so that they want ground for peace because that's how desperate they were for peace. They gave Gaza back to the Palestinian people. They moved all the Jewish people out of there. And then Gaza elects these bloodthirsty terrorist organization called Hamas to represent them. So when you look at the enemies of Israel, like Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran, who backs all these organizations, they're not looking at some two-state solution. They're looking at a final solution. Same verbiage as the Nazis used. The charter of Hamas is the destruction and wiping out of Israel from the river to the sea. So when you have leaders that their whole objective is to wipe you out, wipe you off the face of the earth, how do you negotiate with that mentality? Now, Israel's also accused of stealing the land that they live in. But we know that God gave that land to the nation of Israel. It's their land. In the book of Joshua, the tribes of Israel took possession of the land as an inheritance from God himself. And I believe the word inheritance in that book of Joshua appears about 50 times, reminding us that the Jewish people inherited that land. They didn't win it in some battle or whatever, and they didn't purchase it through some transaction. They inherited the land. The Lord owned it, and he gave it to them. And I'll be a little more specific in just a moment here. Now, we need to understand what's happening in today is nothing new. Jewish hate is nothing new. Goes back many centuries, even to Egypt, when they wanted to destroy the Jews, when Pharaoh gave the order to murder the Jewish babies in Exodus chapter 1. Back in Persia, which was its modern-day Iran, they wanted to eradicate the Jews through Haman in the book of Esther, followed by Adolf Hitler and his final solution during World War II. However, after the Holocaust happened in World War II, God raised up the Jews themselves to return to their homeland. And they became a nation in May 14, 1948. Sadly, as soon as they became a nation, they were attacked on every side. Nothing has changed. But why this hatred for the Jewish people? The answer is simple. Satan hates what God loves. God loves and chose these people for his very own. God himself gave the answer. Why would he do that? Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 through 8. This is what the Lord says. The Lord did not set his heart on you. He's talking about the Jewish people. And chose you because you were more numerous than any other nations. For you are the smallest of all nations. Rather, it was simply that the Lord loves you and he was keeping the oath he had sworn to your ancestors. That is why the Lord rescued you with such a strong hand from slavery and from the oppressive hand of the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Now, when we hear that, you have to turn ahead now to what's going on in the church today. A majority of the church believes in a theology called replacement theology, which basically says, well, God is done with Israel. God is done with the Jewish people. And now everywhere you see Israel in the Bible, just cross it out and put the church. Put believers there instead of Israel. They've taken the place. There's no longer God's chosen people. See, but the reality is the fact that they have always been and always will be God's chosen people. And anyone else, such as Gentile believers, have been grafted in. They don't replace them, they become part of them. They've been grafted into the promises that God gave them, that God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They don't replace, they partake. They become part, every one of us here, Jew or Gentile, we're part of the same commonwealth of Israel. So how do you hate Israel? You're hating yourself, if you do. Sadly, many were silent, and especially believers, only a few generations ago during Nazi Germany. We can't allow that to happen again. They had trains going to these concentration camps, and when the trains of Jews going to their death would pass different churches in the area, they would sing louder, "We love you, Lord, we love you," so they wouldn't hear the trains going by. We can't remain silent anymore. We need to stand up for what God stands up for, your Jewish friends and the nation of Israel. These are God's chosen people. And I always say, you know, when someone tells me, you're one of God's chosen people. You know what? I wish God would choose someone else. We've been through so much over generation to generation to generation. Why don't you choose somebody else to go through that suffering? So it's not any great thing when you think about it. Israel is a land about which God says uniquely, prophetically, and redemptively, and repeatedly in the Bible, this land is mine. God refers to Israel as he does to no other land on earth. Israel was raised up to be a light to the world. Do you know that the church at its inception was virtually entirely Jewish? It wasn't a new religion they were starting. It was called the Way. It was a form of Judaism. And it remained that way until the gospel began to spread, and ultimately it went to Antioch, and Gentiles were coming part. The first Gentile congregation took place in Antioch. And it began there, and it was spread all over the world. But in the book of Romans, chapters 9 through 11, which they hardly ever teach, I have talked to friends that went to seminary, they skip through Romans 9, 10, 11. They want nothing to do with understanding the Jewishness of this thing called Christianity. But in Romans chapter 9 through 11, the Apostle Paul deals with the question of the Jews in God's plan and in his providence and in his purposes. Within the whole Bible, these three chapters virtually stand alone of God's theology in why he created and the purpose of the Jewish people. See, the Jews were the first fruits, the first people through Abraham to understand a covenant God. And they relay those riches of those truth to the world. And it came through the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua. So the word of God really calls Jews the root and Gentiles the branches that have come into the root. See, I don't have time to read it, but Romans 11, 16 through 27 says basically, because of unbelief of the Jewish people, some of them were broken off. And you stand by faith, he's talking to Gentiles. But he says, don't become haughty about that. But you need to fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. And when the fullness of the Gentiles is completed, all Israel will be saved. So why do we stand with Israel today? See, we're living in a very sobering time in history that calls us as believers in Yeshua to take a stand with Israel. We could be the people of this last hour before God shows up. So we're not to be passive, any one of us. In the face of prophecy, which is happening, we're called to pray with passion, to intercede for what's going on, to minister according to the words of our Savior, who said it is not our task to think about when the end will come. That's not what we're meant to do. It's our responsibility to be about our Father's business until that end comes. Amen? And guess what? This ain't about politics. This ain't about the left or the right or the conservative or the liberal. This is about what God says. This is about God's word. But it does affect things politically in a very dramatic way. See, Scripture declares there will come a time when all nations of the world will turn against Israel. We're close to seeing that happen right now. And it's so highly conceivable this could happen in our time. It's why it's critical to stand with Israel today for us as believers. So I want to look at a few more reasons and try and get an understanding of why this is important for us. See, I believe every believer is charged to make the Jews a priority in their value system. And, you know, we need to have a thanksgiving in our heart for God's work amongst those people. And he will judge us if we don't. I could tell you that. See, we need to understand God's purposes, God's divine order, not our own thoughts of what we think should happen. Things that God said about this people and about this land. We need to put them as part of our value system because God does. The Lord selected a people. Selected a man named Abraham. He did it. The Lord said that through the seed of Abraham, and through his wife Sarah, giving birth to Isaac, that all nations would be blessed by that. And every human being would have access to God through that seed. Genesis 12:3, the Lord says, in the covenant he makes with Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This not only relates to the people of Israel, the Jews, but it relates to the land of Israel as well. God will judge nations and deal with them, which we will see in just a moment. So we need to understand when it comes to the land of Israel that God gave his oath that he would give that land of Israel to the people of Israel for an everlasting possession. an everlasting possession, an everlasting covenant that he made with them. And there are 46 places, I don't have time to get into, where in the Bible that says that. That's why the enemy of God and of man, Satan, is fighting desperately by every means possible in his power to keep Israel from possessing that land. Which really tells me something that's very serious that we need to understand. That if anybody takes a stand against Jewish people recovering that land and against Jerusalem, that city, whether or not they even realize it or not, they are coming against the purposes of God and the return of Yeshua. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that when Yeshua comes back, the Jewish people will be in the land occupying Jerusalem. And if that doesn't happen, he ain't coming back. These are not small issues, especially for us as believers. They're vital. They're extremely urgent. And I'm so concerned that many believers are bamboozled by that. They don't even comprehend what's going on around us. Well, most of what you hear in the media is a bunch of lies. We got to call it what it is. And it's frightening thought that the media has so much influence on the atmosphere of people all around, and even believers with their lies. One of the most frightening facts in the Bible is this, that God is going to judge all other nations by the way they have treated Israel. And say that again, because it's important. God is going to judge all other nations by the way they've treated Israel and the Jewish people. Let me give you some biblical examples of that in Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, "For behold, in those days and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I," meaning God is saying this, he's speaking about the time when he will bring back the exiles of Israel. That's the day we're living in. "At that time," God says, "I will also gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat." Means the Lord judges. "And I will enter into judgment with them, all those nations, on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and they have also divided my land." God will judge nations and people how they have treated his people and his nation of Israel. In Matthew 25, it's the same thing when God is separating the sheep from the goats. He's sitting on his throne of glory, and he judges the nations. And he judges them on the basis of how they treated his people, Israel. When he says, "What you have done to the least of these, my brethren," his Jewish brethren, "you have done to me." How you've treated them is how you've treated me. And not only that, but what they've done with God's land, where he says, "It's my land. It's the land which God chose for himself." But he also made an everlasting covenant with Israel for that land. So it's the land of Israel. God will judge nations. If you divide my land, you will be judged. This is a warning to every nation. Two-state solutions ain't going to work. It's a warning to the United States that it's the destiny of every nation is being determined by how it relates to Israel. That's what God says. I believe one essential condition of true spiritual awakening in this country alone is having the right understanding and biblical attitude that we need to have toward with Israel. God says to the nations through the prophet Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8, "He who touches you, Israel, touches the apple of my eye." You know what the apple of my eye means? The apple, it's the eyeball, the most sensitive part of our body. Nothing is more sensitive than that. We protect our eyeballs. It's so we protect it. God says anybody that takes a wrong attitude or relationship toward with my people is injuring my eyeball, is making me so sensitive to that. It's a frightening thought what so many are doing when it comes to Israel. I also want to read a passage out of Isaiah 60:12, which is an amazing statement about how he looks at Israel. He said, "For a nation and kingdom which will not serve you," meaning serve Israel, "they shall perish, and those nations shall be utterly ruined." It's an amazing statement. We don't hear that in the media. See, God doesn't always operate through the big and the dramatic and so on. He tests us in the small things. Really, what's happening at the moment in the world and the political scene that's going on in the nations? The nations are determining their destiny and they don't even realize it. They don't know it. They think they're determining the destiny of Israel. They're not. We already know the destiny of Israel. That's not in their hands. That's in God's hands. But what they're determining is their own destiny. Because those that will not bow their proud, stubborn necks to the purposes of God concerning Israel will perish. Do you believe this? I do. I do. Because God says it. So you understand from my perspective what's happening in the world today. Is nations are determining their destiny as they line up either they're for the things of God or they're against the things of God. And it's not because of the righteousness of the Jewish people, because they're some great good people and so on. It's because of the covenant that God made. And because that's where his son is going to come and land on the Mount of Olives, and go through the Kidron Valley, and into the Eastern Gate, and sit on his throne in Jerusalem and rule the nations. That's what it's about. Scripture speaks to us clearly. It's all about the revelation of what God is going to do for humankind. And the proof of it that has lasted through thousands of years is the Jewish people. Danny might not even realize it. And even the fact that after 1948, you can't deny any of this when they became a nation again. You could have said, oh, Israel doesn't count anymore. They're not even around anymore. Now they are. They're back to where God put them. So today the struggle is over Jerusalem, over Israel, and over the presence of Jews and their right to have a land. And there are a few nations that are willing to stand with them. But the Bible says those that will be honored. Again, Genesis 12:3 tells us, "I will bless those who have blessed you. And whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed." I really believe why this country has been so blessed, as we've been a shepherd over Israel. We've cared for Israel. If we ever turn our back on Israel, we are in trouble, big time. Our place in God's order links us with the Jewish people as believers. Thereby, it links us with the land of Israel as well, according to God's word. See, when you put your faith in that Jewish Redeemer, Yeshua, who came through the line of Jews, we enter into that line of those who have trusted him through his grace and his purposes. Scripture declares who we are now in Galatians 3:29. If you belong to him, then you are Abraham's seed, according to the promise. The promises are for you as well. So we are all part of this together, and we need to stand with those who we're part of as believers. You cannot be consistent with Scripture and be passive to what's going on and even be anti-Semitic or against what's going on as well. We can't take that role. We got to stand for what God stands for. Spiritually speaking, we are part of the commonwealth of Israel. Every one of us as believers. See, God made these declarations in his word, and especially about the land that have never been rescinded. Leviticus 25:23 tells us the land is the Lord's, and it is his to assign and dispose of as he wants. The land shall not be sold permanently, for this land is mine, he says. Can't be given away to someone else that God doesn't want it to have. 2 Chronicles 7:20, God says, if the people violate me, I will uproot them from my land, which I have given them. It's his land. Ezekiel 38:16, God speaking to his people in the end times, who will rise up against Israel. There'll be a confrontation that will take place in his land. He says, you will come up against my people Israel. I will bring you against my land so that the nations may know me when I am hallowed in that land and honored in that land. And even if we look at Joel chapter 1, 6, 2, 18, 3, 2, look, three times in this book, this land is referred to as belonging to the Lord. For a nation has come up against my land, in Joel 1, 6. Joel 2:18, then the Lord will be zealous for his land. Joel 3:2, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will judge them accordingly on account of my people, my heritage Israel, as I've read this before, whom they've scattered the nations and divided my land. So when we're talking about what's going on today, when we're talking about Israel, we're dealing with land, God's pronouncements over the land, and we're dealing with God's people to whom he has given this land to. It's a major issue with the Lord. It's a non-negotiable issue with the Lord. Things that God has said uniquely about Israel have never been rescinded. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 8, tells us that not only does the land belong to God, but also God has committed the land of Abraham and his offspring to Isaac and his offspring forever. Can't take that land away from them. And there's another reason why we need to stand. Israel is not into expansionism or racism. See, the general attitude of the world today, the Palestinian people are the underdog and Israel is defending the land. But we need to know that. The land that God gave them in 1917 and from the very beginning in the United Nations mandated to them in 1948. Palestinian, their motive is not to secure a homeland, but to drive Israel into the sea. Not about a homeland. Think about it. for the sake of public opinion against Israel, if you knew that all the nations, a huge amount of land and property, not one nation has offered this to the Palestinian people to come and be with us. Israel is this big. All the Arab nations are this big. But they want God's land. And none of the others, they don't talk about that, that none of the other Arab nations have ordered refugee to the Palestinians. Majority of the world isn't aware of this. Nobody's bothering to tell them. Because there are other forces that are involved in this beyond what makes sense. Go and live in all these other lands. They speak your language. They have your culture. They have everything you want. Why this little tiny speck of land? And we need to understand, when we stand with Israel, we're not opposing Arab people as an entity or opposing the rights of Arabs living in Israel even. That they deserve peaceful, politically secure lives, prosperous lives as well. God is not against any human being, certainly not Arabs who are offsprings of Ishmael, the other son of Abraham. See, standing with Israel doesn't require being an anti-Arab, not at all. Doesn't require us to be loveless toward Arab people. They need Yeshua as the Jews need Yeshua as well, amen?
We're not.
We need to also understand, I'm almost done, the animosities of the Arab world are not just a political cause, but they are driven by spiritual powers that will not be satisfied until Israel does not exist. They're not simply a people who don't like Jews. It's a spiritual force greater than humanity. It's a force that cannot be overthrown politically or by the power of persuasion. These forces can only be done through prayer. We are coming against powers and principalities and powers of the darkness. That's what's coming against. That's what's driving all of this. It's not about some homeland and so on. It's a spiritual battle we are in, and we need to stand for God in this spiritual battle. And we have to understand, and other believers do, and Christians need to understand, they are equally opposed to Christians and Jews. And they are persecuting both. You know, just as the scripture says, there are two witnesses that will be put to death in Jerusalem in the very end of times. If you read Revelation chapter 11, there have been two witnesses that have stood for God throughout history. That's Jews and that's Christians. And the hostilities and animosities that are leveled against all believers as they are against Israel, because this is a spiritual thing. And against all that God is called to love, and against everything about God, that's who they're against. That's what this is all about. See, we could be a people of this last hour when he returns. We have a place in all this. We need to be people of moral and biblical conviction to stand for the things of God. We need to walk wisely. We need to know his word. He will honor those who make an abiding commitment to stand with him and to stand for the things he does. As he says in Psalm 122:6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They will prosper who love you. You want to prosper in your life? Pray for the things that are on God's heart, especially what he says in his word. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And the last thing I want to mention is that every believer in this room and anywhere else should stand with Israel and the Jewish people because of this very reason, that every spiritual blessing you have ever had in your life, you owe to the Jewish people. And I'll give you a very simple reason why. If there were no Jewish people, there'd be no patriarchs, no prophets, no apostles, no Bible, and no Savior. How much salvation would any of us have without those five things? Would any of us even be saved? Would any of us even be here? The patriarchs, the prophets, the apostles, the Bible, and our Savior. So whether you want to acknowledge it or not, or deny it or not, some who are not Jewish need to understand they owe every genuine spiritual blessing that they ever received to the Jewish people, because it all came through the Jewish line. In John, Yeshua said this in John 4:22, salvation is of the Jews. It's a simple historical fact. People may get angry about that, and they do. People may deny it, and they do. But it remains as a fact. Salvation is of the Jews. Yeshua said it. It's not me. If there never would have been any Jews, none of us would ever have any salvation. We all owe our salvation to that people. So you would think believers would be the ones that support and stand with and go after for Israel and the Jewish people, but sadly, that's not true. In fact, it's just the opposite. And it's one of the most tragic things in history. From beginning in even 300 AD, after the Council of Nicaea, when Constantine came in and removed anything Jewish out of the faith, get it all out, until this present century, when it's finally coming back and people are understanding the Jewish roots of the faith, believers have been the greatest persecutors and bitterest enemies of Jewish people. Most people aren't aware of those facts, but it's true. Those pages in church history have been torn out, so they don't even talk about them, but Jewish people know. They have it written in their heart. They know what they've been through. So when you find a certain coldness of Jewish people toward believers, bear in mind there are 16 centuries of anti-Semitism that they've been through. And believe me, I've talked to a lot, and they're saying, how could you be with those people? Don't you know what they've done to us? Don't you know how they treated us? And so on and so forth. Believe me, I understand that. And if you really want to understand church history like that, get Michael Brown's book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. It will shock you, but it's an eye-opening experience. So let me finish with this. What can we do to stand? What some of the practical things we could do to stand with Israel? One, if we have any anti-Semitism in our hearts, we need to repent. We need to repent because God is not pleased with that. And we need to understand that we can't get our information from the media, the talking points that are out there, and all the bigotry that's causing blind spots in the hearts and minds of believers. We need to look at things through God's eyes and understand what is happening in the Middle East through a godly perspective. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray that our nation will govern in the light of Genesis so that God will continue to bless us as we bless the nation of Israel. consider going there. Some of us have, and so on. Practical support, showing we're here for you. If you have any Jewish friends, show friendship. Affirm them as believers that we stand with you. We know we're with you. God begins to develop relationship and open their eyes to the true Messiah. But it has to begin with relationship. Acknowledge those terrorists, those radical Muslims, but be gracious to others that aren't in that role. You know, we face a tough time in what's going on in our nation and throughout the world. But we need to stand for what God stands for. We need to support what God supports and pray for what God supports. And hopefully, people will come to know Yeshua and who he is. But we need to be people who stand and touch and live for biblical convictions on critical issues of what's going on around us. And what's happening now in Israel is certainly one of those critical issues. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that, Lord, this isn't easy, and especially for me, to share this message. But it's, Lord, may we stand with you. May we do the things that are on your heart. May we see things through your eyes, not through the world's eyes, not through my eyes, but through your eyes and what's on your heart and what's really happening in the spiritual world, not just what the political outlook is. You've got a purpose and you've got a plan that you set in motion thousands of years ago, and it will be fulfilled. We read the end of the book. We know you will have your way. But use us, Lord, in any way possible, Lord, to accomplish your purposes for such a time as this. And I pray this, Lord, in the name of the Holy One of Israel, Yeshua our Lord. And everyone said, amen. Let's all stand as I pronounce blessing over us this morning through God's words in Numbers chapter 6, verses 23 and 24. As the Lord did speak to Moses, and he said, Moses, tell Aaron and the priest to pray these words over my people, that the Lord would bless you and keep you, that the Lord would make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, that the Lord would lift up his countenance upon you, turn his face toward you, and thus give you his peace and place his name. And not only his name, I pray that he would place his purpose and his calling on you to stand for the things that he's called us to stand for such a time as this. May that reality take place in our lives. Yivarechecha Adonai ve'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panav alecha vihunecha Yisa Adonai panav alecha v'yasam lecha shalom. Father, we do pray for your peace. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the peace in your land. We pray that you would have your way, knowing that if you be for those people in the land of Israel, nothing can really come against it. They could try to destroy it because you love it, but they have no authority over that. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness, and may we be faithful people as well to accomplish what you desire us to accomplish in this world today. And I pray those things in the name of the Holy One of Israel, Yeshua, our Lord. And everyone said, amen. God bless you and have a wonderful day in the Lord. Thank you.